Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Do you guys have those people in your life? I wanted to premise the show today with this just because it's such a fucking thing. Do you have the people in your life that, like, you just have these epic fails and look like a total idiot in front of the same people, like, repeatedly? And you don't know why. It's always just like the same person. Maybe it's just like, you know, for a lot, maybe in like a Sex and the City scenario, it would be like a dude you want to impress. And like every time you see him, you like act, you like can't speak or you know. But I definitely had a taste of that today. There's a couple of friends that we know that Matt Bronger and Kara Baker, they're a married couple. I'll say their names out loud. I'm not Matt, who is our very first guest ever on this podcast, where there's just been a couple professional flubs with me and them because they're both clients of mine. And like, I just look like the biggest dumbass when it happens. And I was just thinking about it. I was like, I think there's always that moment you have with like the same person that the universe is like, it's a constant test with these people in your life, you know?
There's no cruise control with them. Like the universe is like, don't get too comfortable. We're gonna test your relationship every time you are in a room together.
We're just gonna nail home that you're a total dumbass for
what
these
the fuck
people.
Did you remove an entire eyebrow by accident?
No, it was totally fine. Like something like bad happened where like his appointment accidentally got deleted and it's like nobody's fault, but it's fine and he's fine. But the first time I did the flub, like he was getting Kara like a products and a facial for like her birthday. And I was texting a coworker, I thought, but for some, my brain broke and I accidentally texted all the information about the surprise to Kara.
Oh,
this was years ago. And then Matt sent me a text. He was like, "Hey man," he's the nicest guy with the biggest heart of gold. He's like, "I know, like, accidents totally happen, but like I put a lot of effort into this." And I was just like, "Wah!" I was putting out fires like a manager. I was like, "Comp everything, comp this, comp that," you know, like. And that was years ago, so it definitely hasn't like been thrust in my face again. But I was just
all
like,
I can
why?
Say is like,
why?
I'm sure you're good with them, but just don't expect to babysit their child anytime soon.
Oh no, well I'm not gonna volunteer to babysit.
You're on the no-fly list.
I did all my babysitting in my 20s. I'm done.
Well, this is not a podcast about that. Thank God. This is all service industry oriented. And I have to say, everyone, welcome to Sidework. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
Joining us. Honestly, kind of late in the game, if you had to ask me. But better late than never. Better late than never, because you know what? I think we found the perfect topic to finally, like, bring her into the fold. But please welcome our dear friend, Allison Lieber, everybody.
Yay! Thanks, ladies. Thank you. So I'm so excited to be here. This is awesome.
We've all known each other for so long. We all actually did wait tables together years and years ago at Bad Dog Tavern.
Yep.
So we're, like Brooke said, long overdue. We have, like, you've been on a running list for 3 years for a guest on this show. But like Brooke said, today's the day because we're diving into vegetarian restaurants and like cults and all sorts of wellness shit like that. So we'll get into the meat or non-meat of the topic. the meat replacement, if you will.
No. We're going to get into the plant-based protein of the show in just a little bit.
But first of all, you know, I feel like, do we have some more top of show business to take care of, Brooke? What's going on out there?
Not really. I mean, this is crazy and interesting. The Macaroni Zone, you guys, they're not doing any new episodes, but they've got about 20 that already exists on One Star Network. Danny Palumbo, James Austin Johnson, fantastic. We've told you how wonderful they are. Well, James Austin Johnson also just went ahead and got himself added to the newest round of Saturday Night Live cast members.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
That'll boost numbers. I'm truly like, it's not like we can take any credit for his talent in the least, but we knew he was cool before SNL did.
Dude, way to get on SNL in a pandemic. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So this really has nothing to do with us. This literally just continues to make us look good. It's them and their talent singularly, but do check out the Macaroni Zone so you can check out SNL's newest, latest, and greatest cast member.
Yeah, that's so fun. I love it.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, if you guys haven't, don't forget, you can still like us. You can still subscribe. You can do all those things if you haven't done them before. You can send us server submitted stories, which are coming in. I think we're getting more.
No, we're not. Oh. We got one. We got one.
I always hope for the best, and Brooks, no.
It's okay. Are we back in retrograde, right? Allison, you're probably on top of this. We just went back into a retrograde. But the harvest moon.
Yes, we had a harvest full moon last week. It does feel, the energy feels really chaotic right now.
Chaotic and a little constipated. People not wanting to give up those stories.
I think it's more, maybe I'll start ghostwriting in stories.
Well, and I'm telling you, if we can't get any service industry related stories, I am fully on a subreddit and a Reddit thread called Am I the Asshole, which is really great because people write in with kind of like social faux pas they did that are a little tricky, and then Reddit is like votes whether or not you're an asshole. So I think
survey says
exactly. I will just glean from Reddit. There's another one of just like really bad wedding faux pas, which I keep telling you I'm obsessed. Yeah, if we can't get that kind of, you know, our own juice, like that's kind of got the drama and the intrigue on the level of what we usually get. So
that's super fun. That's so amazing.
So ridiculous. Yeah. Well, I have to say, Allison, I'm sure you've maybe been through this yourself before too. And I fostered a dog.
For
precisely 48 hours. He just got scooped up by his forever home. So quickly, I had a whirlwind weekend romance with a scruffy little terrier off the streets of Tijuana.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Well, that's a happy ending. Did you like the adopted parents?
I was like, oh, my God. I mean, he scooped off the streets of Tijuana, like I said, and just drove off into the sunset in his new Porsche. God bless.
Dog.
I know. I was like, can they adopt me and my boyfriend?
Was he wearing sunglasses after?
He fucking gave me a card, and I'm like, no, I'm the one who named you, asshole. Anyways, he gave me a business card. Suddenly, those appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's all like, call my agent, Brooke. Peace out. Dude, that is so
so ridiculous. It's so funny, though. But yeah, it was really sweet. I mean, your heart is like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. And I was determined, you know, not to do what's called the foster fail, which is you keep them. I was like, come on, my like 48 hours in, first time fostering ever. I'm like, and he was like the best dog. We were like, oh no. It's, you know, but luckily someone had put an application in advance of us. So it just wasn't an option.
He just stayed for a little bit. It was like a fun little excursion, a little Airbnb action for him.
Exactly.
You know, Jasmine and James Dunn, our longtime co-host, sit-in on this show, guest. He and his wife are fostering as well for the same group that Brooke is from, Mutt Scouts. And their first one that they fostered, their hearts were broken. They were like, and Jasmine told me that like she like watched the dog walk away and the dog like looked back at her.
No.
Like, and I think they gave each other like a little, I'll always love you no matter what, you know.
Oh,
but it's gotten easier for them.
little Whitney in the background.
Yep. No, it's real. I hid behind a hedge while he was being put in the car because I didn't want him to make eye contact with me. I was like, I can't do this. Walter. I'm like, little Walter. Anyways, so you're catching me in a funny mood where I feel like I did a great thing. I feel like I'm trying to play it up like I am like a dog's best fucking resource for like decompressing after the kennel. I'm like, we've got a house set up with like a lot of cool things to lay on, like soft, comfortable settings and snacks and hugs and fuzzy blankets. So I'm like, I'm okay doing this for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like the loveliest form of like loving acclimation, like acclimating them. And yeah, and you're supposed to meet more people. And I don't know, man, I wish we could foster. I really do. I think Indiana would be like, what? Like,
oh my God.
I think it would go over. But what do I know? Maybe it's my fear, but I also, I don't think he'd be.
Yeah. Let's not find out the hard way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I don't know, whatever. We're so off topic. If we want to stay further off topic, we've got a few headlines for you all. This is crazy too. Okay, right, because I'm working on a new cannabis talk show, right? And our host mm-hmm. is David Borey, Denver, Colorado's very own David Borey, who we love. And we were talking about all this stuff that's coming up for the show. We were looking for food-related stuff, but I was also Google searching some funny headlines for our own podcast. He logs off work for the day, and then I click on a fucking link, and he's the poster boy for this new festival that is landing in Denver, where basically someone put out a call to the public to say, what is the worst combination of food and beverage anyone can think of? Let's vote on it, right? And so there's going to be a festival now in Denver, Colorado on October 16th called, oh boy, Chowdermeister. Because it's going to be a festival where all anyone drinks is Jägermeister and only eats chowder.
No!
Yeah. That? And how much does it cost to get in?
I'm not sure yet. I am trying. Okay, so basically, Jake Brown, who I'm not familiar who this guy is.
$50. It's my bet. 25 early bird, $50 day of.
Oh my God.
Says right here.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Okay. Oh okay. God. But you guys, so on the poll though, it could have been an egg and red wine festival. Thank God that didn't poll well. Pickles and banana daiquiris. That was another.
Both of those combinations sound great to me. Like the first one sounds like French and delightful. And but the second one's just like, island fun. Like, The third is puke fest. The chowder's going to curdle in your stomach when you drink the Jägermeister.
Yeah.
Like a cement shot.
I feel like I have thrown that up. Or maybe. Is it chowder when you eat it, or are we calling it when it comes out?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, too, is I'm like, are there going to be contests for distance in terms of your projectile vomiting? Like,
right? What,
you know, oh, my God. So this guy, Jake Brown, basically, like, he had threatened, gross. Like, as a joke, like, I'm going to make this festival a reality if it gets enough heat sort of thing. And so now it's a reality in Denver. So Josh Scherer, the host of Mythical Kitchen, is going to be Chowdermeister's head judge, which I don't know what they're judging. Anyways, he's quoted as saying, against all odds and against God herself, I've spent years cultivating an audience uniquely suited to the combination of party liquor and dairy-based soup. And they came through. So here we find ourselves, ready to unleash botanical-infused, lactose-tolerant hell on the city of Denver. I'm sorry, or you're welcome. I'm not really sure anymore.
Wow.
So, but I don't...
There better be, like, several medic tents at this event.
I feel some Woodstock 1990.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Woodstock 99.
Put the toilet paper in the freezer. That's going to fucking hurt your boom, if you know what I'm saying. Your boom hole. That's
man.
Gross.
I mean, do they just give you your own bucket when you enter? Like,
How many tickets have, do we know that?
Let's put it this way. I'm going to be updating you, okay?
As we get
closer to the event, I now have a line in with David Bory, who's our host. Yes.
Yeah, you've tapped the vein, so to speak. You like, you'll be a, we should get some, we should go live.
we should go to Denver and go to Chowdermeister. So David's pictured here. It's an all-you-can-drink chowder and Jaeger festival. He's wearing like a Viking hat with deer antlers on it, but it's like one of the beer, like the beer hats with the straws. But on the one side is a mini bottle of Jaeger with the straw going in, and the other side is a Campbell's soup can of chunky chowder on the other side of the hat.
Do you think they'll have chowder popsicles at the event? They have to.
I'm going to let David know that there can be a dessert round.
The whole thing.
Dessert this, chowder.
I went to a food event in Chicago years and years ago where it was like just odd ingredients. And I remember there was like kind of weird kind of mushrooms and like celery was one, trying to make good things out of celery, but one was durian. And if you guys know about durian, it smells like rotten cheese death. And so we were in this huge loft space at an art center in like south side of Chicago, and you would, as you were nearing the durian station, you were just, everybody was like, what the fuck is that smell? Like, there was a whole wing that people were kind of like shuffling in and out of. But yeah, we ate it. They did like a durian cheesecake, and then they did a thing that was kind of like a cheese spread. It was not terrible, but like not, it was almost like rotten malort cheesy taste in your mouth, if that makes. I'm looking at Brian being like, remember.
It definitely tastes better than it smells.
We survived. We made it.
This is disgusting. I love it.
Should we launch into this next story?
Because absolutely.
This is, I let a little eek of delightment out when I read this, Brooke. So straight out of Detroit, Eminem is launching a restaurant called Mom's Spaghetti.
Oh God. His mom's? I thought he hates his mom.
He'll sue how I think he'll. Well, he did throw it up because he was nervous. Speaking of like vomit inducing stories, you know, I think he's just kind of, he knows his brand and how to make some money. But it was a pop up for a while, and now is actually going to be a real restaurant in Detroit, serving things like spaghetti, meatballs, and spaghetti sandwiches.
Spaghetti sandwich.
So we'll see how it. I would eat here also.
I would eat
only
there.
For the sheer nostalgia purposes of it. You know, it'd be better if you could like wear like a Slim Shady type wig while you were there. Is there interactive? You know,
I mean, they're already going big, so they're paired up with a Metro Detroit restaurant group called Union Joints. Because he's done Mom's Spaghetti pop-ups.
Right.
But basically, I guess the brick and mortar version of this is a 2-tier, 500-seat restaurant of people who I guess are expected to come eat Mom's Spaghetti. And it's going to be on Woodward and Columbia. Yeah, that's bold.
That's a big, that's a commitment.
It is. But for everybody in the Midwest, our Detroit metro area friends listening, please report back. We would love some, you know, I think we need to start. If you're not going to send us a server submitted story, we're going to deputize you to go experience something. And please write to us about it. Okay.
Double points if you throw it up.
Exactly. Both of these. A sketty sandwich.
I think it's right next to Kid Rock's douchebag land where all the food comes served in douchebags. I would imagine that would be a Kid Rock restaurant. Kid Rock burn.
Have we ever really discussed like what is a like, I guess because the bag of fluid is the part that's attached to the douche, is that what we mean?
That's the squeezy part. Where you squeeze it in.
Got it. Because I would consider it more of a douche satchel, sort of a douche sort of delivering device.
Oh, yeah, what is this? What's a satchel's a bag?
Yeah. Okay. You're right. It's a douche bag. It's a douche bag.
Bladder, a douche bladder.
Yeah, it is kind of like
pocket.
A douche pocket.
Now that's a Kid Rock culinary delight I can get behind.
I can get all on all fours for.
Oh, right. my God. Allison Lieber is here for it.
Well, how do you do? Oh, I guess you squat. Well, I don't know.
I don't know, but that pocket's basically a thirst trap is what you're saying right now. But anyway, let's get into our only server
submitted
story.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the subject line. How to piss off a CEO while greeting a table. This is going to be good. Okay. Hello again. Your recent episode about corporate restaurants brought back another memory from the numerically named New England Pub, which happens to be a corporately owned chain. So the location I work at is one of the top performing restaurants in the company. And since we're very close to the corporate headquarters, we are often used as a test kitchen and meeting place for the high and mighty schmucks who often choose busy lunch shifts to roll in, take up a table or two, and get underfoot in the kitchen. One of our frequent visitors is the CEO himself, which would have been nice to know the first time I met him or the first time he and some of his corporate cronies sat at my table. At the time, one of our big new menu items was fresh haddock. We had shipped in from Gloucester every day. That's how you say it, right? Mm-hmm. I want to say Gloucester, but I don't want to get murdered by a Bostonian. Gloucester. Along with that, we as servers were expected to know the names of the fishing boats that hauled in the catch, which predictably no one gave half a shit about. As I prepared to greet this table of four professional dudes, my manager peeked around a corner and said, "Heads up. That's the CEO," and promptly disappeared again. I knew I had to be on for this one. I know, classic manager. So I took a breath, rehearsed a line or two real quick, and stepped through the swinging doors onto the stage. As I was introducing myself to the table, the CEO smiled, shook my hand, and we exchanged pleasantries. He then asked, "Anything new on the menu?"
Oh, God.
I know. I waved him off, and as a joke, I said, "You own the place. You'd probably know better than I would."
Yes,
I can already tell.
Yes,
I mean, great response. Bad corporate behavior, my friend. Okay. Well, after that fell flat, I then sheepishly explained the new summer menu and mentioned the haddock, fresh from Gloucester, never frozen. And he asked me what the name of the boat was that caught the fish. The fish might not have been frozen, but I certainly was. I had no idea, and I couldn't walk away, so I took another breath and improvised. Honestly, I don't know. No one knows. On a dark and stormy night off the coast of Gloucester, the ship went down with 13 souls. All that washed ashore was one crate of fresh, never frozen haddock. Once again, he was not amused, but we continued the interaction. They all got their haddock, and the rest of the lunch went off without a hitch. Oh, but for the next 5 years, our present notes that we get always include the simple three-word sentence, "Know your boats." Not that anyone ever gave a shit ever again. Oh my God. Thanks again for the podcast and the opportunity to share the experiences we've had in this wild industry we call home. Godspeed and good tips, Steve.
Oh my God. Awesome. I'm stenciling "Know your boats" onto a piece of driftwood and hanging it above my front door.
Jaws was on Netflix. I mean, fuck yeah, I watched that again. That movie's so good. Just giving me all the fresh haddock and
Know your boats. Know your boats. Know your boats. I feel like a ding ding.
Yeah, amazing. That's an amazing story. And you know what? It's like, I give you props instead of being like, you know what? I don't know. It's like, go down fighting. Show your personality. Yeah. Show why customers like you, you know? Even if you're totally wrong.
Create the story.
Exactly.
Who the fuck cares about the boat? It's a story. So make up a story.
I guess if you live in Gloucester, you know, you're like, that's your ma's boat.
Oh, yeah.
I think these are the mission statements that these corporations latch onto. They all have this like story they've created. This like, you know, they paint the landscape, if you will, and they expect you to fucking live and die by it. But nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like if my server told me that story about the boat, I would be like, here's all of my money for a tip. Yeah. This is incredible. I will always come back here because of you. I
it's amazing.
But, yeah. Yeah. But know your boats, I think, is more like read the room. All know your audience as well, you know?
I think that's great. I think that's my new fucking tattoo and like that beautiful maritime and that maritime font, you know, just a total sailor tattoo that says know your boats. Well, you guys, like we said, you want to go out and experience something locally on our behalf and tell us about it? Great. Send it our way. Otherwise, server submitted stories, server confessions, you know, come clean. We love it when you come clean about something you fucked up big time on the job and have never told a soul. We will read it on the podcast, and you can reach us at sideworkpod@gmail.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, guys, let's get into it, shall we? Steamed kale, anyone? We're talking about vegetarian restaurants today. We're talking about vegan restaurants and the lifestyle kind of surrounding it. Brooke and I were like, we knew we wanted to do vegetarian restaurants with you, Allison, vegan restaurants. And then I think we were both like, oh, wait, cults run those.
Sweet.
Not all of them. And we'll get into some history of it, but it's not very far-fetched. Maybe 25% of the restaurants are. But before we really dive into it, let's get to know you and your history in the service industry, the restaurant industry.
Well, at 15, I worked at Parsley Place in Akron, Ohio, and I was in charge of the salad bar.
It begins.
And I'd go out there with my cart and have to flip the buckets and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, now I've been working in restaurants forever, actually every side of a restaurant, like the front, the back, the management. It's insane. It's fucking insane. I did work at a really predominant vegan restaurant in L.A., and we'll probably talk about their sister restaurant in today's episode. It's been great, you know, everything from like being in a chokehold from a customer. I don't know if I ever told you ladies that story.
No, please don't tell us right now.
No need to skim over that one. I have questions.
Well, so I'm at this like great vegan restaurant, right? And we did a private party for 25 people, right? And this, like, speaking of douchebags, this guy was trying to impress his new girlfriend and said he'd take the bill. And he's drinking and drinking, and everything was prefixed. And but he kept on ordering off the menu. Well, he gets the bill, and he goes real quiet, and he's like, "Why am I getting this bill?" And I'm like, "You didn't have 14 bourbons, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's you." And so I was just like, "And know your boat, know your bourbon."
Yeah, know your boat.
So he is, he's like mad but super composed, which is to me like double scary. Yep. You know what I mean? So he's like, "I'm not paying for this," and I'm like, "Great, I hate you and I'll be back," you know? So I go and I'm like trying to divide and start piecing apart like separate checks. And he comes up behind me and I'm like at the computer and he puts his arm around my neck and starts squeezing it like we're hugging, like he's hugging me and saying in my ear, "We're all good, right? We're all good." And I was frozen. And I was like, "You're hurting." Like I said, "You're hurting me." And then I left and I was stunned. I couldn't even believe it. I go back in the kitchen and I'm like shaking. And the manager, and the owner's like, "What just happened?" And I, because the whole time we're all making fun of him, you know, behind the scenes. And I was like, "He just like put me in a headlock. What is this, a chokehold or is this a choke? I mean, either way, you're
okay. Either way, I would say, yeah,
potato, potato, right? tofu tempeh in this case, and they go to find him, and he left, and yeah, so it takes all kinds, but yeah. So, anyways, that was crazy. So
he's like, "I don't hurt animals. I don't eat animals. I do choke women though."
Yeah,
so.
Specifically servers. Yeah, it was crazy. So like, you know, I'm like, "Don't get your meditation beads in a bunch," but like, like. This little vegan restaurant's got some, it was crazy. It was really weird. So
you have, you know, I've always known you to like live in like a wellness presenting like lifestyle. You are, you know, you were going to be an esthetician, you know, your essential oils, you know, your clean living, like, you know, you're very familiar with all of this. So
exactly.
I mean, and it's a passion. So like, it doesn't mean I always do it, but it's a passion. Yes.
Hey, absolutely. You know, but do you feel like you were, because you knew all this already, were you like, "No brainer, I can work at a vegan restaurant"? Because you've worked at so many different types of places.
Yeah. No, I knew I could work there and I knew I could like, well, you know, because at this particular restaurant that I worked at, a lot of the people that were coming into had legit allergies, nut allergies, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I was super confident that I actually was really excited to work there. I was at times mortified with who it attracted at times, you know, but like, I was comfortable.
Yeah. Well, we have that in common, even though you came from a background of already being invested and being interested in natural alternatives and this and that. I chose, when I first moved to New York City, like the premier vegan restaurant on the Upper East Side. I still don't understand. I don't understand. It was something where in my mind, I was like, after like Bad Dog Tavern and maybe a bunch of other places like that, I was like, maybe it'll just be cleaner because there's no meat. Like, it won't smell bad. Maybe my staff meals will be healthier. Maybe this will just like, you know, raise my whole vibe up, you know. We'll get into it, but like, I was gobsmacked by the antithesis of what you think is a healthy, happy, high vibrating person. It was all rich people with eating disorders.
Yeah, it's a crate. Well, yeah, and where I worked, it was like comfort vegan food. So it was this mishmash because you'd have the people who were eating for the animals to save the animals and the other ones. So like their silicone wouldn't move out of place, you know, when they sat down. Like it was a mix. Like, did you work? What's her name? Oh, my God. She owned One Lucky Duck.
I don't know.
But she got in trouble for embezzling. In New York, she introduced Alec Baldwin and his wife together.
Hilaria, which her real name is Hillary. And like, she's also just from Boston. Her whole gig is fake. That's so funny.
So this gal, like she was embezzling from the restaurant. And then her husband, they were on the run. And her husband, they got busted because her husband ordered a Domino's pizza and they tracked the credit card. Yeah.
Probably, I mean, yes, absolutely.
What a way to go down.
Yeah,
huh?
yeah. But she, yeah, what was her name? I can look it up. But she's one to watch.
One to watch. She's on the FBI's most wanted. Yeah, it was, which I think it's interesting that wellness, as we've also learned, whether you're thinking of just tinctures or meditation or yoga, but we're learning in this episode that the food and nourishing version of it is a community, which is then a gateway to maybe never talking to your family again. as we keep finding. But I know that I was in that headspace of like, I want a more elevated experience. And I had kind of thought that if I was working in a spot that had higher standards, that that would lead me, you know, and absolutely not. Everyone was just such a nitpicky piece of trash. There was so much. It was awful. It was actually more dramatic and more hypocritical than any restaurant I've ever worked in my life.
You're like, I'm really going to need this detox tonic at a 50% discount to detox from all the toxic bullshit that's been in my face all day.
Also, and again, I know I'm not the only one, but I do think for that year and that, you know, city, perhaps I hold the title as maybe the world's fattest vegan.
Easy to do.
Easy
to do. That was the 90s for me. A tofu, everything.
The fat vegan 90s.
Yeah. Corn. Yep. I was like, what do you mean? It's not really a corn dog, but it's a corn dog. Okay. Like, I make myself sick. That's so good.
Dipping into a little bit of history, which I have compiled, one of the first well-named vegetarian restaurants in the country was named Vegetarian Restaurant Number One. It opened on West 23rd in New York City in 1895. And it was sponsored by the New York Vegetarian Society, which did not tolerate either taking life for food or drinking alcohol. And one of the founders of Number One was its manager, Louise Volkum, a remarkable 50-year-old German woman, German-born woman, who was active in women's suffrage and the labor movement and the peace movement, as well as being a music teacher and a volunteer in prisons and hospitals. And this is throwing back to like this time in history when prohibition is gaining a lot of traction at the same time. A lot of these women who were fighting for suffrage were also fighting to abolish the drink. We have a whole three-part episode where we talk about it, where basically like hard liquors introduced into agricultural societies in big cities, obviously through the U.S. when hard liquor starts getting made, men get wasted as fuck and they leave their families and beat their families. And so this is definitely part of that live clean, be clean. Even I believe like AA is kind of starting at this time too, and being recovering alcoholic. So this is all kind
of get your shit together movement. Yeah,
it is. Absolutely. but an early wellness movement. So the vegetarian movement and restaurants got a boost from rising meat prices and stockyard scandals shortly after the 20th century began. A 1904 directory listed 57 vegetarian restaurants nationwide. Wow. And the passage of the Pure Food and Drug Act in 1906 encouraged more to open. I wish we could have that back today. New customers mobbed vegetarian restaurants while eating at these places, and they had that had all kinds of meatless dishes such as spaghetti and omelets, you know, very basic stuff. And so this kind of happened up until like World War One is what they're saying, and they flourished and chains began to form. It just kind of took off from there. And then you're getting branches of different restaurants all over the country. And this is kind of around the same time, which is, the Battle Creek, Sanitarium. Brooke, do you know about this place? In Michigan?
Is this in Michigan? Yeah. Of course. Well, Battle Creek is where all like Kellogg's and all the cereal comes from now.
Yep. This is specifically Dr. Kellogg's, I guess, health spa, if you will, leading up to, again, this early wellness movement where he was a seven-day Adventist and absolutely like believes in healthy gut, not imbibing in alcohol, not eating meat, nothing too exciting, and specifically not masturbating at all. That was his big thing. He was like, eat clean, be clean. He thought you should shit 4 times a day. He thought, and if you weren't, you need to eat like a pint of yogurt to push things through. It was like enema therapy, cold therapy. People in the middle class and upper class across the U.S. like flocked to this place. There was like thousands of people staying there at one time. And that's a lot of staff.
It's interesting. Like once again, a lot of toilets, a lot of staff. Once again, it comes to mind just rich person fuckery. Wealthy, mm-hmm. like, because you know, like vegetarianism, like eating an omelet and plain spaghetti is also called poor people food. You know, like many, many cultures and many families in general. It was a treat if you got to eat something as decadent and special as a cut of meat of some sort. So it does just make me laugh that, of course, like I get it, you know, there's the concern for animals and the, you know, like because of industrialized farming and how barbaric we are now versus then, it is like, yeah, I choose not to slaughter like millions of chickens in a go or whatever, but it does make me the fucking fuckery, man. It's always the wealthy people who are also, he's like, eat clean, be clean, don't flick the bean.
Are his tenants. Another thing I need to have stenciled and put over my front door. But he also actually coming, you know, talking about like being rich, I think when he invented cornflakes, it was like a cheap, healthy alternative to a breakfast that everybody could have. But still, this is his idea about being clean all the time. Obviously, he had some mental things going on where he was, I think, had just some OCD where he was like, must be clean all the time, must shit 4 times a day, must take 80 showers. I think that's where he was leaning. And the lifestyle he's pushing is leaning cult very much, guys.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the, like going back to even the restaurants, like so many of the restaurants that I've been to or associated with, the vegan ones, it's like you take one person who's done a transformation and their story is what creates that. Like in Chicago, I did a month long cleanse through a vegan restaurant there. And I mean, people were on this dude's tip, like hardcore, like just like, pray tell what you can do with these liquid aminos, you know, like it was just so, I mean, I don't know, but yeah, like, well, even in there, a lot of these restaurants are named after the person, you know,
right.
Karen's, Cousins, Julian's, Raw, like
Chili's,
clearly. So it's, yeah, no, I like that's, I have definitely seen so much because people want to feel good and we love before and afters. Like Americans love before and afters. So it's like that you need me to tell you how I did it. And that's, I mean, even if it's not even like a religion, they can turn it into, you know, a religion type of thing.
Well, and as someone who worked, you know, at this restaurant, I was like, this is so above and beyond just doing the take and order, be nice to regulars, drop off the bill. I was tasked with listening to their ailments mm-hmm. and helping them figure out which juice or maybe like just some plain steamed brown rice. Like she was going, you know, someone's like, I've had diarrhea all week. What, you know, and you're like, I don't know. Maybe you should stuff yourself up with some bread. Like, I'm not sure what to tell you, but also the owner of the restaurant would come downstairs in her flowing robes, you know, and be like, oh, everyone, look, she's been here for a month. Like, you know, this prize customer who was recovering in remission from some sort of cancer, but had decided to turn to a completely plant-based diet. And here we are, the owner of the restaurant, trying to take credit for her cancer. Where you're sitting here going like, hey, listen, I get it. Plant-based food is going to help your immune system 100%. Like I've always been of the mindset, like get the real treatment that you need. But instead of eating the bullshit hospital food, advocate for someone to bring you, you know, some like actual like food with nutrients in it. But like, it was really crazy. There was a lot of DHT and a lot of, we were fake nutritionists and wellness experts somehow. And I was like, I just want your tip. I'm working the lunch shift and I'm going to go make fun of you on stage in 4 hours in the, like in the West Village. So.
Right. And I think that's the thing, that all these places are coming from some version of a specific lifestyle, right?
People are seeking something. It's not just lunch. It's not just lunch. Yeah.
Food is medicine, right? Food can be healing. And this is which is very true. But when it gets toxic and it turns, no. But I think when you're working at one of these spots, you know, like we were talking about, you with Allison, you have to be passionate in a way, or at least know what you're getting yourself into, right? Mm-hmm. Like Brooke, and you have to learn fucking quick, because these are going to be the pickiest people you've ever fucking met in your whole life. And they're almost entitled to it, because these are the types of places that have been open. They're allowed to be picky and say, I have this allergy. That's why I'm here, so I can get what I want.
It's crazy. The one place I worked at, I'd say me and maybe four other servers out of like 20 of us actually were vegan at the time. And so the customers that would come in, that like the outrage that they would have if a server was like, oh, I don't know, I don't I'm not vegan,
I don't do this.
But servers, the clients or the, you know, the diners would ask you, are you vegan? Like looking at me, like I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? You know what I mean? Right. Is that going to deter what you order? Like, I mean,
Yes, I do have a patty of raw ground beef in my apron pocket, but I don't think that concerns you.
Don't let that
you.
Come between us, sir.
There is definitely cheeseburgers in my backpack, in my locker. From McDonald's in this restaurant right now.
There was times where the kitchen staff actually brought in, because the kitchen staff was definitely not vegan, right?
Of course not.
You come in to like set the patio up and you're like, wow, barbacoa. wow, we're doing full on carne asada before 11 a.m. Okay. And, you know, the owner would just like have a meltdown, and not because she was against meat, because she wasn't. It was the backlash that like she would get, because people put her on a pedestal. She never said to anyone, look at me. She was like, I'm offering this. I know how to make a bunch of this shit with nutritional yeast and durian. I know how to make durian taste good with agave. And, you know, but like there was this one, literally she was getting death threats. Literally, she was getting her and the family restaurant. There was people with signs protesting outside of our restaurant, because what happened was is that the other restaurant, one of the people who owns it, posted something about they had a cow and the cow had died and they actually ate the meat. Well, the cow was a billion years old or whatever. You know, and so they had it that maybe, and I might be butchering the story, but it was about you like what I did? I don't mean to be a ham bone about it, and so literally, like, actually, someone whose name I saw in the notes, a vegan musician, called them up to try and buy all their cattle from them. Because they had it that they were gonna, butcher all of them, and the owner was like, "I love my animals. I didn't kill them. It's called, you know, Father Time." But I think they wanted a full on burial service for them instead of like, you know.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, and who's pitching in for the gigantic casket?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So, I mean, but they would turn on her and make her a hypocrite when she never promised any of her beliefs. All she was trying to do was just create more farm to table, more connectedness to it with our food. But she wasn't saying what you should and shouldn't eat. So I don't know. But yeah, that's the clientele's rough.
I think there's a difference, like, and veganism, like, you know, people call it like, is it a cult into itself? It's certainly hardcore. And when we're talking extremism in it, like, and you know, the PETAs, right? Like people who are like, they activate that phone tree and shit happens. Like they mm-hmm. do not hesitate to voice their opinions about animal cruelty and anything that they deem unfit, unethical, which is very interesting. And you know, people are very passionate about it. And so it's got to be really hard to butt heads with that lifestyle when you're just trying to run a business.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, like, I don't think veganism in and of itself is culty. Like, you know what I mean? People who love Dole Whip, they're in a cult too if we do it by that. Like, you know, like, I don't mm-hmm. think it's culty in and of itself. No. I just think Americans, I'm going to say this and I might disagree with myself, you know, but I think Americans, especially white America, is constantly looking for some sort of group identity, tradition, some sort of something that they can hold on to, because most things are commercialized. So something mm-hmm. like veganism or lifestyle, you know, this is my philosophy and this is who I am. And you just, it becomes so twisted. And I don't think veganism is a cult right. any more than fucking Blooming Onions. Outback Steakhouse has a cult then, you know? It's, I don't know.
No, I believe in what you're saying, that it's like someone who wants to not leave a big footprint with the way they eat and also feel better and are like, whoa, this has benefited my life greatly. A plant-based diet, good for you. Every mm-hmm. group has its extremism.
Yeah.
And that's what America is about. America is full of homegrown terrorists and extremists, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, and just posing the question, which is what I did about veganism being like, you know, cult-like. For me, it's almost, I feel like, the vegans are always butts of jokes. They're always picked on by a lot of, you know, the rest mm-hmm. the quote unquote normal meat eating people, you know, of our country, you know, which is a bummer, because as we're finding out, like
we're finding out that bacon, that chicken, meat's not going to be here sandwiches. Forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we're finding out that eggs, burgers, and chicken and bacon on one sandwich is going to clog your colon. I always thought, like, I love how everyone's so worried about terrorists, but we, like, when we walk down the aisle at CVS, no one can take a shit properly. Like, we're going right. to off ourselves by our own habits. I don't know, like, what do we care? Like, so fucking crazy. But yes, fiber, I want you left with fiber is the key. Okay.
Fiber. We love psyllium husk. We love it.
Yes.
Just know your boats. Brian says no. Brian's not a psyllium husk fan. It's too much yin for him. You know what I mean? It's too much. But you know, talking about all that, let's get started about how vegetarian lifestyles can lead down the dark path to cults, basically.
Well, before we get too into it, like, Allison, did any of your jobs, like, specifically, because, like, you know, I know that, did you ever work at Cafe Gratitude, or were you just a fan of that? That's what I didn't know.
What I worked at is, I am friends with them, and I worked at, I worked at Sage. Sage and, Sage, the daughter of the man who started it, I worked at his daughter's restaurant. Actually, they have multiple restaurants, but they made my beer for my wedding. Like mm-hmm. I'm friends with them. Yeah. So I worked at Sage.
Got it. And for our listeners, like, or for me as someone who, like, kind of came to LA a little late in the game, Cafe Gratitude is this very famous place, but I don't know best how to explain it. If you ladies can enlighten our listeners.
So Cafe Gratitude, you know, it's very health conscious vegetarian mm-hmm. food. It's not, you know, because obviously fries can be vegan, so it's like, it's not fries. It's, You know, you got your garden variety quinoa Buddha bowl in there. One of the reasons why people make fun of it is that they don't call it a quinoa Buddha bowl. They call it like, I am peaceful. I am, you know, I am pleasant or what I am, whatever. And it, so it has
the bowls, like the food is, the names are affirmations.
The names are affirmations. And so with that, you kind of put yourself in harm's way of being made fun of. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, I am very serious about myself. That's the next bowl. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have the I'm full of myself sandwich.
Can I get a box? Because I'm full on the I'm full of myself sandwich.
But I will tell you, like, they, you know, like you said, pointed to earlier too, Brooke, like, we are full of extremes, right? So right. One minute you're going to have a commercial where meat lovers and, you know, we have every animal on the farm on this crust, you know? So you have that, which is a total disconnect.
Yeah.
And then
it's disgusting
it,
also.
Yeah, I'd eat it though. But
just one bite.
Yeah, with some ranch, sure, why not? But so you have like... You have that extreme, right, of people so disconnected and so into consuming. Then you're going to have the people who are like, well, I want to take time and really be with this and be in, like, present to the whole fulfillment. I love it both, to be honest with you. Like, I get, like, I am an extreme personality, like, consumer. But I don't know where I was going with that because I'm so passionate.
I think when there's intention, right? When there's intention put into this food being prepared for you that you're about to sit down and consume at Cafe Gratitude with silly names, like that's what people, those silly names I think are, they can be affirmations for people or have intention behind them.
Yeah. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to be invited to a restaurant you've never been to. Oh, Cafe Gratitude, how lovely that sounds. And then you get there, never heard of it, and you have to say out loud to a waiter for the, like, I'll have the I'm better than everyone else bowl. Like, people, you know, like you, so you're getting people who aren't even in that lifestyle dining at the place, and then it's just super fucking awkward for everybody. Everyone, you know, it's like, it's almost like the best vegan's revenge. Invite them there and make them order out loud, you know?
I think one of the points I was going to make too, well, just saying, like, either with the extremes of the food, this food that you're even talking about, though, Cafe Gratitude and vegetarian food, it's like the food I even served at Cafe Candle 79 in the Candle Cafe, it was fucking delicious.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It was so good. Yes. They were not fucking around because there's a lot to prove because everyone is already doubting that all vegetarian food can be delicious. And so there is that chip on the shoulder to prove you wrong and to show you how wonderful and, you know, delicious can all be. And, you know, I was like, fuck yeah, man. And then I almost feel like that segues into, like, where people get hooked, that delicious food. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Buffalo cauliflower all day. Took America by storm. Like, in 2012, no one's been the same since. People, like, question their sexuality from that. Like, you know, they're
At Bad Dog Tavern, Allison, we had the Asian salad. We had spinach salad, and there was like you could get it with tofu on it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Allison would always fry tofu in the fryer and put buffalo sauce on it for lunch all the time.
Yeah, girl.
Quick story of that salad. I had a gal who was such, the whole time she was nitpicking me or whatever, and everything she hated about, like, what she was complaining about, I was like, oh, she's just a complainer. She says, I finally drop off the salad. She goes, there's a hair in it. I didn't believe her. I went around the corner, started eating it, and ate the hair. I was like, yes, ma'am, I'll take it away. And thinking it's imaginary, and I choked on that hair, but it was a great salad. Yes.
Oh my God. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up part one of our deep dive into vegetarian and vegan restaurants.
It's getting real extra tasty, juicy, all the things you don't think of as descriptors when you think of vegetarian food. But
firm,
we're back.
Firm.
Very firm. Very firm. Mm-hmm. What is it with tofu?
Silken?
Silken.
Yes. Silken. And
extra firm,
extra drained, real extra dry.
Don't forget to you gotta weight down that tofu, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Words of wisdom.
We're excited to come back with a part two. This was such a fun episode to research. So in the meantime, we still need your server submitted stories, or if any of this vegetarian talk is triggering some memories, send them our way at sideworkpod@gmail.com. We will continue next week with Allison.
And you guys know what we say at the end of every episode.
Godspeed.
And good tips.
Good tips. Thank you.